The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is God Calling, and a really familiar voice today joining us on God Calling, and that is Teresa Tamio, who you hear in the morning here on AM 1260 The Rock, and her husband, Deacon Dom Pastor. Dom and Teresa, thanks so much for joining us here on The Rock.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're looking forward to the discussion.
Our pleasure.
Tell me, Deacon, since you're an ordained ministry, tell me about your call to the ministry. I assume it was after you guys had already met and married.
Oh, yeah, it was well after that. It was after, actually, our coming back to the faith. That was the first step in it. And then I would say my call to the diaconate, to that vocation, probably began after a trip to the Holy Land, where I was in kind of close contact for a couple of weeks with a deacon in our parish, and we just talked a little bit about different things, and he mentioned to me just almost casually, but maybe with a purpose, I don't know, about, well, do you ever thought about becoming a deacon? And I started to play with it for a while in my head, started to take classes because that trip to the Holy Land really invigorated my faith. Teresa and I had been back in the church for a couple of years before that, but that trip really kicked it into high gear, sort of. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was also taking a Bible study class. It wasn't through the church, but it was a great non-denominational Bible study. And as I said, I started taking classes, and slowly the Lord kept calling me and realizing all that He had done for me and for our marriage, saving our marriage and all. I felt that I had to do more than just thank the Lord and, you know, continue to be a faithful Catholic. I wanted to do more for the church in gratitude to God. I struggled with the call and played tug of war, I think, with God for a long time, wondering if He was really calling me or not, probably focusing too much on having almost physical visual signs, like a postcard from God or something like that, I could say. But eventually, I gave it over to God. I remember one night, this was the most significant event, I think, in my calling, where I said, okay, God, I guess maybe the diaconate isn't for me, because I'm not getting any warm and fuzzies from you. And I just kind of gave it over to Him. And a few days later, I was doing this Bible study, and it was the story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. Mm-hmm. And the scripture verses starts out with the Lord called Abraham, and Abraham responded, "Ready, Lord." And at that moment, the Holy Spirit just kind of seized me, and I just remember freezing. I didn't read any further. I closed up my Bible, lowered my head in prayer, and said, "Okay, Lord, I guess I'm ready too." And that was really the beginning of my going into real discernment for the diaconate. I applied for application into the program, and just kept discerning as I kept taking classes and going through the diaconate formation program.
Teresa, as the two of you came back to the church, the regular practice of the faith, you'd been back for a couple of years. What was this like for you to watch, and how did you contribute to that or try to contribute, or can you push too much and you kind of say you got to come to it yourself, Dom?
Well, I think I did push too much in the beginning because I really felt that he would make a great deacon because he was the one who really, obviously, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit, but through him and his reintroducing Christ to me and the faith to me, I came back to the church. He's really, I think, the one responsible, obviously, Jesus first, but Dominic's influence on me brought me back to the church, and so I always thought that he would be a wonderful deacon, but it is a decision that the man himself has to make, and the wife supports the process. It was amazing to watch, and his growth and everything I saw, and how he would witness to people, and how so many of our friends, I remember one of the most significant moments was one of our dear Protestant friends, a beautiful evangelical sister in the Lord, who would always ask us questions about our Catholic faith, very supportive, but, you know, just curious, not having grown up around a lot of Catholics. And one time she asked Dominic, well, what can you do as a man in the Catholic Church? And he said, well, I can do this, that, the other thing, or I can apply to be a deacon. And he explained to her the role of a deacon, and she goes, you know, I really think you might want to, you know, pray about being a deacon.
Wow.
And so it was amazing for me to sit back and watch so many other people. He mentioned Deacon Gene that he first met from our parish on a trip to our first trip to the Holy Land back in 1995, and then just step after step through the classes and the knowledge he was gaining. So, but at the end of the day, it really has to be up to the person who's going to be the deacon, the man who's going to be the deacon, to make that final decision.
Tell me about your background. Growing up Catholic, tell me about that.
Who, me or Don?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you, Teresa.
Well, we're both 100% Italian-American, so we have very much in common with our upbringing. Dom is from the Northeast in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I grew up here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, originally from the East Coast myself, born in Jersey City. We moved here when I was a child. Went to a wonderful Catholic grade school where I first fell in love with Jesus and found my vocation at a very early age. 8 years of this Catholic school onto a public high school, and then studied journalism and broadcasting in college and began working right out of college in radio and then television. And I should have known God was in charge shortly after I graduated, because that's when I met Dominic. A week after I graduated, we went on our first date, and I took one look at him and said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. That's when I realized that it was God saying that, you know, you don't have everything planned, because I was never going to get married. I mean, you being a former secular media person probably understand it better than anybody in terms of the pressure that's on people. Especially,
for sure, especially women.
Well, you know, you shouldn't have a family. And if you do, the family can't be first. All of that, you know, ridiculous discriminatory nonsense, which they still put on women, by the way, in the business. And so I bought it hook, line, and sinker and thought I was never going to get married. But thanks be to God, I met a wonderful man, and we got married 3 years later. And but our background is Catholic. We were raised Catholic, but we both fell away from the faith for many, many years.
And Dominic, what about your background?
Very similar. I went to a Jesuit high school, which had an impact on me in learning the faith. But my faith never really took the journey from my head to my heart. And so it was kind of easy to fall away, especially when we were first married and both doing well in our careers. Our faith became less and less important to us until we had a crisis in our marriage. It was also at the same time, serendipitously, that I was invited to a Bible study. I can remember being agreeable to going to this Bible study without even remembering if we had a Bible or not in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit kind of answered for me. I'm an engineer, so I kind of tend to overanalyze. But the Holy Spirit, for some reason, just grabbed me and said, yeah, I'll go to this Bible study. At the time, when I answered to my friend who invited me, I wanted to look over my shoulder and see who invited me. You know, who just said that? Because it certainly wasn't me. It wasn't my character just to do something kind of that significant off the top of my head. But it changed my life. That was the single most important thing I've ever done, is to join that Bible study, because it saved my life, saved our marriage, and brought us both back into the church with a great zeal for and love for the church.
Teresa Tamio and Deacon Dom Pastor, her husband, please stay with us. We're going to take a break and come back and explore further your vocations and how you're using those vocations in media and, of course, in the pews as well with you, Deacon Dom. Stay with us. This is God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Teresa Tamio, the host of Catholic Connection in the Morning here on AM 1260 The Rock, and her husband, Deacon Dom Pastori, our guests on God Calling today. Teresa, your program focuses, it's Catholic conversation, obviously, but focuses a lot on women. And you talk about, in our last segment, really, you talked about the television business. It's a very tough game for women, and it discriminates against women, I believe, in a lot of ways, at least from my experience. But you empower women with the show. Tell me about the show and how your call back to the church and your faith allow that to blossom into a nationally broadcast program.
Well, you know, God never shows you the entire picture, because I think we would totally freak out if he told us how he was going to use our yes and what he would do with us. I mean, if you would have told me 25 plus years ago that I'd be on, you know, a syndicated talk show on a Catholic network talking about pro-life and the feminine genius and the dignity of women, I wouldn't even have known what that had meant. And I would have asked you, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking, but I want some of it. It was a total, upset the apple cart of my life. Jesus turned everything upside down in a good way. I was talking actually very recently on my program about that with a young woman in a new pro-life ministry about how so many women are so misled and so misinformed and have no idea about the truth of who they are and how they are made in God's image and likeness, and how freeing it is when you embrace your true dignity in Jesus, and that Jesus was and is the biggest woman's liber that ever walked the earth. And I struggled so much in so many ways in the business, not with the success, but always trying to prove myself from one day to the next. And I saw a great deal of discrimination, but it didn't click with me in the sense that, oh, I just thought this was the world and this was the industry. And now looking back and realizing all of these different stories that are being revealed, for example, about all the sexism in the business, all the sexual harassment in the business, and it still goes on. And even in terms of the way women are treated as on-air personalities, women have to dress a certain way. Women can't be overweight on TV. Men can. Women are asked to dress provocatively. Guys can basically wear whatever they want. I used to have to consult with my station managers, even if I wanted to even consider getting a haircut or cut my hair differently. And much of that still exists today. For all the pride that they exude and brag about how they're so, you know, fair and balanced, and they go after all these big companies for being discriminatory, and they chase after stories for companies who treat people badly, the media, unfortunately, are among the worst when it comes to the way they treat people, not just in terms of women and minorities, but also in terms of labor and the way they overwork people and they don't give them time off and you're expected to drop everything. And I can remember working such long hours, 12, 14-hour days, and then if I tried to get a day off, I was accused of not being a team player, even though legally I would have to be compensated for that work. I mean, if you pushed right for your legal right to get paid, and you can probably relate to this as a former TV person, then you were leveled again, not as a team player, and there's, you know, 25 people in line to take your job
for less money.
So there's a lot of issues in the business that yep, they don't talk about still. I mean, we're starting to see some of the issues with sexual discrimination and sexual harassment coming up. For example, you saw it with Matt Lauer, you saw it with Charlie Rose, you saw it with a lot of these big personalities, you know, across the board. But there's a lot of other issues in the media that are not discussed, and they're very, very hypocritical. They sit there and go after, not that they shouldn't uncover problems in the business world and in society, but then they don't address their own situations in their own newsrooms.
Deacon Dom, you can hear the fire in her belly. How does that drive your ministry?
Well, I've always admired Teresa's drive. I've always admired the way she attacks problems and is the defender of the, even in when she was in secular news, I always felt she was very compassionate to the victims of the fires or the murders that she was covering. And I see that now even more so in her role on Catholic Connection, that she addresses the issues that need to be addressed. She addresses them firmly and really not meanly or dismissively or anything like that, but with a passion to help those who are downtrodden, who help those who are struggling, and to show them the light of Christ in their lives. I'm very, very proud of her. I'm very proud to be married to her. I'm very proud to be her husband. I think she just does an absolute wonderful job of covering difficult subjects, but with compassion and empathy.
How does that translate to you in the pews, to help people with problems or to reach out or to minister to people, to serve people?
It helped me to understand that I think the biggest thing is to meet people where they're at. You can't beat them over the head with the Bible, or can't damn them to hell, or whatever you want, however you want to say it. You have to meet them where they're at and bring them along and raise them up, as kind of Jesus did on the walk to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, that he met them where they're at and taught them and slowly brought them along as he walked with them until they were able to understand who he was and see him in their lives. And I see Teresa do that, and I try to do that in my ministry as well.
Hopefully you're creating vocations as well through either a good Catholic, a marriage, single life, whatever it is, but that example. Teresa, I heard a program that you did very recently, and you talk about friendship, and you had a guest on, Mike Aquilina. Aquilina was the guest.
Yep.
And basically, he talked about the way that the initial discipleship went on. It was just talking to people. There was no mass media, and the apostles just reaching out and gaining followers through friendship.
Amen. And I think that's what we do on Catholic Radio, whether it's The Rock, whether it's your show, whether it's my show. I think, and you and I both know this as media people, that radio especially is a very personal medium, and people relate to us. And so many people, the biggest compliment I can get is when people come up to me and say, well, I just had breakfast with you this morning, or I feel like you were in my living room, and I feel like I can come up to you and just talk to you about anything. It truly is a friendship of the heart, and even though I can't see, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people we have on our 500 affiliates that, God willing, are listening, in so many ways it can relate, having had our own marriage struggles early on, you know, having struggles with my own career, trying to decide, you know, what God want me to do, having my whole world turned upside down by, you know, finally understanding and slowly embracing, you know, the church teachings and the gospel message. So we try to relate, and as Dominic said, you not condemn, not condone. You don't want to condone someone in a lifestyle. You want to walk with them. You don't want to walk them off a cliff, as Archbishop Chaput says. But to try to figure out, okay, where is this person coming from, and how can I meet them, and then, wow, show them the love of Christ as Dom showed it to me. And I think that's what being a good friend is being there with the people in good times and bad.
You talk some about friendship. I want to talk, when we come back after this commercial break, about something interesting that I also heard you talk about and you've written about, pilgrimages and journeying with other people, and maybe even over a glass of wine or conversation. We'll talk about that when we come back on God Calling. Teresa Tamio and Deacon Dom Pastore, our guests here on the program this week. This is Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back after this on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. Paul Orlowski with you. And with me is Teresa Tamio and Deacon Dom Pastore. Teresa, you've written an awful lot of books, but before we get to that, you talked on a program recently about the importance of pilgrimage, journeying with other people to places, holy places, but also journeying with them in their hearts, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think the conversation to which you're referring was my dear friend Mike Aquilina, who does a number of pilgrimages as well, and he and I have an affinity, of course, for what we call the motherland, Italy, and so do Deacon Dom and I. And also, I think, for the Holy Land, right after we came back to the church, we mentioned earlier in this show, we went to the Holy Land. This was 1995, and it had such an impression on us, and we really got to know so many people on that trip who are still friends of ours today. And that, again, was 1995, so what's that, 26 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing in terms of when you come together on pilgrimage, and you meet people who are like-minded, who are there to learn more about their faith and to explore an area where you sit down, you have a meal together, you go to Mass together in a beautiful holy site, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Italy or Poland, wherever it may be, and you form these friendships, and then you grow from those friendships, and you share your thoughts on those experiences. And that's what I love so much about leading pilgrimages, because it really is a journey not only of our faith, but it's a journey of our hearts, because we go along and we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and the saints. And we also show people how the early church and these amazing people that went before us, that they not only love the Lord, but they love life. And it's okay to go and have a glass of wine. It's okay to have a nice meal. It's okay to go shopping, you know, and to enjoy what's put before us. And it's something that Deacon Dom and I love to do. We lead pilgrimages for couples. We lead local trips, local pilgrimages sponsored by Ave Maria Radio. We do what we can. We're part of the Good News Marriage Cruise, which is coming up again in 2022. They had one last year that was hugely successful in 2020. And then, of course, right after that, the COVID hit. But now we're back out to the high seas, and we're sailing in January of next year. And we're pushing, I think we have over 300 couples signed up right now. So we're really looking forward to it. And just to hear the responses from people when they do journey with us, we tell our story along the way. We share, you know, our testimony. And just to be with them and to just talk to them and where they're at in their own faith journey, it's really very encouraging for us as well, and gives us a shot in the arm that we need to go further.
You've written a whole bunch of books. Deacon Dom, are you kind of the editor? Does she bounce ideas off you when it comes to an idea for a new book or a thought on a specific topic?
She does. All the writing, except for the one book that we co-wrote together, Intimate Graces, How Practicing the Works of Mercy Can Make the Best of Your Marriage. But other than that, Teresa comes up with the ideas, and we talk about it a little bit, and she'll pass by some copy to me for occasions and things like that. But she's a very prolific writer and is the one who really has that kind of talent in our relationship. I do whatever she asked me to do, and as far as, you know, looking over things, hey, what do you think of this idea? What do you think of that idea? I do have to say that all of her books are just greatly entertaining, but also very helpful. Teresa writes just the way she talks, and most people say that, and you can hear her voice coming through in all the different subjects that she has tackled in her various books.
It's kind of funny. I hear that a lot. I wrote a book recently. Of course, my wife helped a little bit by saying, "You're not putting that in that book. That's embarrassing." but I do hear. I think Teresa comes maybe from the broadcasting. People say it sounds like that's the way you talk. I wasn't necessarily a trained writer from the standpoint of that sort of a style, more the broadcast style. But Listening for God is the latest book. Tell me about it.
Oh, I love that book, and what I love about it is it's a culmination of different stories of people who had God moments. And notice the title is Listening for God, not necessarily Listening to, but in terms of listening for Him, it's how do we go about our day open to what God might be saying. And so I asked any of my friends to share those what I call God sentences or God winks, where God shows up and you know that it's simply too much. It's too much of a coincidence not to be a God sentence. You know what I'm saying? Is everything is lined up perfectly, and so you know God had something to say about it and was involved. And the stories vary. I have a friend of mine who's a new convert to the faith, and she tells the story of how she lost her keys and then found them, and that helped, cinch the deal in terms of she was struggling with some teachers of the church before she finally converted. There's other stories of folks who had some phenomenal experiences and met God along the way. We tell the story of the angel on the train station in Italy when we were stranded, and all of a sudden this man in a uniform shows up out of the blue and tells us exactly where we needed to be and how we could get back to our hotel. There's all these different things that have happened, to people in their lives. And we've all had the experiences, but I wanted it to be people, different people, not just those of us who are on the air. I mean, there's a couple of other on-air personalities that are in there. But predominantly, it's people in the everyday working world who are Catholic who are just sharing their faith and how God has broken through at a particularly difficult time. And so I think the book is really helpful because every single person in there, whether they be an on-air personality, whether they be a salesperson, whether they be running a business, a lawyer, a doctor, they all share different experiences, again, of God coming into their lives in a very unique, particular circumstance. And what I had them do at the end of each chapter is I had them write reflection questions and also have quotes from the saints, because I don't want people just reading the book and say, oh, that's nice, that's a cute story, and then moving on. I want people to really think, okay, how has God spoken to me? And am I really listening for Him in terms of in nature, in music, in my everyday life, in the office? How am I listening for Him as well as listening to Him?
Real quick, we've got about a minute left, but Extreme Makeover is another book that you might recommend for young women. Your belief is that pop culture distorts its view of women. That might be helpful to young women in today's world.
That's a timeless book, and I put my heart and soul into every book, but especially right now in our culture, I have a chapter in there called Abortion Distortion, and also the Contraception Deception, and how women have been really, really deceived and lied to all these years. And I was, and I believed it, and how I had to piece by piece peel away that onion and really understand how I was misled and that my industry, the media, was responsible for most of it. And so it's a great journey. There's a ton of resources as a reporter, as a journalist, to which you can relate. I wanted to make sure that I could show people that this is backed up by science. This isn't just, some guy in Rome with a red hat, saying this. I mean, not that wouldn't be important, because we as Catholics, believe in the hierarchy and in the papacy, obviously. But for someone who's not there faith-wise, who's struggling with their faith, natural law is always going to back up God. Science is always going to back up the truth of who the person is. And so I have tons of studies in there in terms of the impact on what's happened to women over the years. So, yeah, that's Extreme Makeover.
Okay.
And then, of course, you mentioned Listening for God as the latest. And I have a good book that I wrote. I wrote two books last year during COVID. Listening for God was one. The other one was Conquering Coronavirus, How Faith Can Put Our Fear to Rest. That would be a very good book right now because it's still with us and we're seeing more variants pop up. And how do we not be overcome by fear every time we see another story about a new variant or cases rising? How do we approach that?
Our time went by in a hurry, Teresa. Teresa Tamio and Deacon Don Pastore, thanks so much for joining us on God Calling. We hope you enjoyed the show out there listening, and we hope you'll join us each and every week. Take care. This is AM 1260.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.